Chapter 4 Downward. Geffen led Udo deeper into the forest, skirting the edge of the hill he'd tried to climb before. They walked in silence. The only sounds Udo heard were the creaking of the trees around them, the sometimes skitter of small animals weaving through fallen leaves, the sometimes crash of larger animals tromping over deadfall. Udo stumbled as they went. He spent most of his energy on staring at the back of his old friend's head, which was still bare of hood. He didn't know how to feel about Geffen. It was certainly Geffen's face, his voice, his body. But all of the things Udo knew, those things that made the man Geffen, seemed absent. He was too solemn, too silent. He should have been jabbering as they went, telling Udo the comings and goings of his life since they were apart. How long have I been in this world? Udo wondered. He tried to reason how long he'd lived with Harriman's folk. The chieftain would range out with a hunting party every 30 days or so. Udo knew this because he used to notch the days on a counting stick. He did this for a while, at least, before he learned Harriman's sense of timing was as reliable as the light of their day god, Lugh. He'd never learned how the chieftain kept such an accurate schedule, as none of the giants had been lettered. They would draw pictures in animal blood or charcoal, or with stains derived from various plants. They'd had a working concept of numbers, in that they understood the mechanics of addition and subtraction, but he was unsure if they ever bothered to count beyond 100. They'd never had occasion to count any higher. There were only some 83 people in their clan, not counting himself, and Udo had never thought to ask. He tried to recall how many hunting cycles they'd had and thought there may have been 5. He wasn't certain. There was enough time scattered between each period that he figured it well may have been more or less, and he'd never know the difference. 5, he decided, was close enough. 5 cycles of hunting, separated by intervals of 30 days. Udo used the tricks he'd learned as a digger and later honed as a crier to compute the total, some 150 days in camp, and each hunt ranging anywhere from 3 to 5 days, figure 4 days then. 5 hunting cycles meant 20 days of hunting, therefore, and added on to the in-between periods, he supposed he'd lived for 170 days among the giants, give or take.
170 days, he thought. You lived with them for longer than you fought in Walhaz, for longer than you were a count, even.
He wondered why he still heard the ringing of metal late at night, if that was so. If that time had been so short, why could he still hear the war horns blowing when he was half asleep? He reckoned such concerns should have been left behind in the old world, but they hadn't. He thought about this often when sleep failed him.
And what of when you first came here? When you lived alone, he wondered.
How long had that been, when it was just him fighting to scratch his life out of the dirt? When he suspected he was alone in an empty world and had learned to be content in that solitude. He thought back to those days, living in a hut on the riverbank and fishing with needles made of bone and foraging through the soil.
White dustings for carrots, he thought, and purple for potatoes.
There was no way to determine how long that had been. Udo had never bothered to keep time on the riverbank. He'd always assumed he would linger there until the food ran out or he got sick, and then he would no longer be there. So he continued until the giants. But he thought he might have been out there a longish time. When he thought back on it, he seemed to recall a mesh of days, overlaid upon each other and all the same, so that one day felt like every day. He knew many such days would have to pass before each day felt like every day. Udo supposed he'd lived in Tollum less than a year, but more than half a year, and decided the count would be no more accurate than that. He looked again at the back of Geffen's head. He walked on silently, unwavering, as if he didn't even need to watch the ground for fear of stumbling.
And how long have you been away? Udo thought. To hear you tell it, it was death on the battlefield, a meeting with the gods, and then you were here.
Was there something you wished to ask, Udo?
Huh? You've been very quiet back there. I was wondering if you are troubled, and if there is some help I could offer. It was this way long ago, was it not? Something would trouble you, and at the end of the day you would bring this trouble to me and speak it out to feel better? It could be so now. What concerns you?
No.
Nothing wrong?
No, it's... Give me a moment. I've not spoken to anyone in this language for a long time. The throat is rusty.
Geffen nodded and said no more. They walked on a few more paces, then he stopped and gestured up the hill they'd been circling. Without awaiting a confirmation, Geffen began to climb it, moving easily up the steep ground despite his heavy robes. Udo followed. He'd found a better stick when they departed, something approaching straightness and springy enough to make a decent walking staff. It helped as he leaned into the hillside, but even so it was slow going. His shoulder was greatly relieved from Geffen's ministration, but the low ache was still there if he lifted his arm too high. The muscles of that joint felt weakened, abused, as if they'd been stretched apart and snapped back together, which Udo supposed they must have been. Sometimes his feet would slip upon the leaves, and if his staff was not properly set, he was forced to catch himself with a hand or collapse into the slope, perhaps slide down to the bottom if he was unlucky. When he arrested his fall with his right hand, thoughtlessly the one time he did it, the joint screamed its outrage. It had felt as though the entire right side of his trunk had been dunked in ice water, and he sucked air through his teeth in shock. After this, he learned to drop the staff and catch himself with the left hand, and many times he realized he'd slipped the right hand back into his open shirt collar unconsciously. It seemed to relieve an ache he could feel all the way in his neck, so he tried to leave it there. Geffen, who never slipped at all as he climbed, seemed to sense his friend's difficulty and slowed his upward pace. He would take 3 or 4 strides, each one carrying him high and far away, then stop. Then he'd turn his head slowly, back and forth, no doubt listening to the sounds of the forest, those he could still hear over Udo's grunting. Udo bit hard upon the annoyance hiding beneath his tongue and instead asked,
"How long did you say you've been in this world?"
"I did not say."
"Well, all right. How long do you figure you've been in this world, Geffen?"
He didn't answer. He seemed to be searching the trees, or between them. Udo was about to repeat himself when Geffen nodded and looked back.
"This is the place," he said. "Do you see that larger hill up yonder slope, where the little lump we tread joins itself to that greater mass of this land? There is a doorway."
He resumed the climb, this time with no apparent hesitation or concern for Udo's ability to follow. The old digger swallowed his words and labored to keep pace.
"You don't sound like yourself, Geffen. That's my problem."
They stood next to each other at the peak of their hill. It joined to a much larger one just beyond, and in the crotch of land where the two merged was a vast jumble of granite slabs toppled upon each other, some of the smallest pieces as large as his old wagon, the rolling home in which he'd housed a giant. There were dark fissures and openings where the stones leaned, gaps and crevices that seemed small at a glance, though Udo realized they were large enough to pass through.
"How do I sound?" "You speak like a noble now. You've lost the cant. When you speak, I do not hear Geffen.
Do you suppose that traveling beyond death has the potential to change a man, Udo?"
"I'd allow it might."
"It does, as you should well know."
Udo looked at his friend.
"I've never been there."
Geffen turned from the granite to match his gaze.
"No?"
"Of course not."
Geffen smiled, but did not reply. Then he looked to the rocks again and pointed.
"Our way lies between that. You'll see,
There is a cave beyond. We'll follow the passages of the world for a time. He approached the granite fall with purpose, but Udo remained.
You know there are almost certainly animals denning in there.
There are not.
Have I told you of that track I saw earlier?
Many times. Come now, the light is failing.
Udo watched as Geffen threw back the sleeves of his robe and passed his hands lightly over the rock, the shadows of that place shrouding their skin in darkness. He hesitated only a moment, then slipped through a crevice and disappeared from sight.
There may be more than animals in there, Udo called.
No,
came the faint reply. The sound had a deep quality, as though echoing within a chamber.
The Dvergas are sleeping, Udo.
He stared at the granite. Then he said,
Red-assed sheep fucking shit for brains,
and hurried after. At first he thought Geffen must have had a firebox secreted within his robe. When the last waning light of the overworld had gone, there was only a blackness so profound as to make him doubt the existence of his body. A chill breeze tittered across his skin, lifting a few remaining wisps of hair from his brow. Somewhere there was a constant dripping. It sounded far off, but echoed in all directions.
Geffen!
He hissed, then recoiled as his own voice rebounded upon itself, repeating and overlapping until the sounds were meaningless.
Here,
Geffen replied. His response was flat and immediate. It began and ended with equal finality, and Udo, still listening to the ghost of his own voice and the eternal dripping, doubted he'd heard anything from his friend soon after the word had passed. He found himself trapped in a world of doubt. So dark, he doubted his eyes would ever work again. Hearing so fractured, he began to wonder if speaking would even produce sound. A mad, self-destructive fragment of his mind soon mistrusted the existence of his own hands.
Could I find the wall of this cave if I reached for it?
He thought.
If I stretched up my arms and walked, would I feel the rock wall? Or would I pass through to the in-between places and become trapped forever?
The tips of his fingers brushed against something thick and warm, like wool. A hand grasped his wrist, but he did not cry out.
A moment, Udo. A moment, and we'll see.
Gently, a pale light glimmered upon the rock around them. He couldn't see the light's source. Geffen's form blocked it from his view, but it was blue-silver, like the rays of Zintgunt, and did little to show the path ahead. It showed no more than the rock walls and ceiling of the tunnel, in fact. The distance ahead of them was impenetrable and unknowable, like chaos beyond the world. But it was enough to show him that his eyes worked. He was gratified when he held up his hand and saw the five-fingered void it left in that meager illumination.
What is that, Geffen?
Udo whispered.
What sort of fire makes a light like this?
Quiet for now, Udo. I must listen.
For what?
For those things which do not wish our presence here.
He didn't know if his old friend was serious. His voice lacked the ring of humor, and Udo wanted to press him for details, but did not. He was thinking about what had happened to Baldovinus again and remained silent. They stood like that a few moments more, long enough for Udo to consider nudging him. Then his head bobbed, Udo supposed he'd nodded, and they began the descent. Or rather, it was not a descent at first. They journeyed a straight line to begin. 20 paces in, Udo turned to look for the entrance. He thought he saw a faint glimmer somewhere back there, but couldn't tell if his eyes were honest. After images of Geffen's light cast shadows in his mind, so that he thought he could still see the walls around him, whether his eyes were open or closed. A moment more, and he began to doubt if his eyes were even open at all. He turned back to his friend and saw that he was now a small silver light some distance ahead. Udo knew fear in that place, true fear, for the first time. He realized that if he lost his friend, he would certainly die alone in some dark corner. He He would just fade away, doubting his own existence in that cold pit until he ceased to exist at all. He stumbled toward the light, wanting to call out, but hesitating. Udo realized he was afraid to do it, to shout his distress to his friend, because then he would be admitting that this was indeed a dangerous place and that he was certainly in danger. If he stifled that cry and carried forward and found his guide without help, he'd be able to tell himself he worried for nothing, that he'd never been in danger at all and had only allowed the darkness to awaken childish fears within his heart. He wanted very much to make that claim to himself. He wished terribly to believe he was not in a place of danger. Somewhere ahead, the light winked out. Udo whimpered, stumbled, caught himself, and stumbled again over a rock. His teeth knocked together when his knees hit the floor and his palms stung dully. He suspected he'd skinned them, arresting his fall.
Geffen! Geffen! I've lost you! Come back!
His voice overlapped and folded upon itself. He heard it flinging away from him like a loosed arrow, rebounding and spiraling down the tunnel, then turning like an animal at the terminus of its den, and rolling back to envelop and pass over him and escape back to the world. He remained panting upon his hands and knees, heard the faintness of dripping water through his own dry gasps. Slowly, his fingernails began to shimmer faintly in the darkness. He looked at them, confused, then saw that the rest of his hands were coming to light as well. He looked ahead. The light had returned. It was down there, somewhere, waiting.
Geffen, he hissed.
Here,
came the soft reply. Udo lurched to his feet, scraped palms and bruised knees more than forgotten. They might as well have belonged to another man, and stumbled along the tunnel, eyes opened wide enough to ache. He reached the light sooner than he would have imagined. It was low, somehow.
Careful, the ground descends now.
And so it did. Udo saw that the ground broke downward immediately and screwed to the left as though the beginnings of a spiral stair had been carved out of the rock, but the mason had died before the steps were cut. Geffen stood at the bend where the tunnel disappeared, his head about as low as Udo's knees. He was looking up at the old digger with glass eyes.
Keep close. There is only one right way to go, and many that lead astray.
Sure.
Udo swallowed. He descended the first few steps of the spiral, grasped the cord at his friend's waist, and wrapped the loose end around his hand several times.
Go ahead,
he advised. Geffen nodded, turned, and continued down. Udo tried to count the turnings of the spiral as they climbed, but soon gave up. The path was very steep, and he was forced to brace against the wall with his free hand. The energy required to keep his knees from collapsing on the momentum of each downstep was deceptively great, and soon the muscles in his thighs were quivering despite the countless miles he'd walked through the grasslands with his clan.
No, not my clan, he muttered.
What's that?
Nothing. How much further?
You will see soon. He contented himself with the counting of his steps then. He appreciated the distraction this brought. It kept his mind off the moisture weeping from the rock, or how slippery it made the floor, or how perfectly carved the floor seemed to be. There was nothing natural about that tunnel at all. The ground was coarse enough to hold his tread so that his legs did not go out from under him, but looking closely, he thought he saw regular grooves cut into the surface, about as wide as a man's finger, running crosswise to their direction of travel. They seemed to come with perfect regularity, and he found himself wondering what had put them there. Then his attention returned to counting, but he realized he'd lost the number. Starting over seemed pointless, and soon he could think of nothing more than the aches in his knees and hips and the quivering of his muscles. He fought to avoid his feet clapping down heavily, which would have seemed a relief at first, but which Udo knew would have required more energy to absorb. He tried shifting his weight to the balls of his feet, but when he did, his heels only bounced feebly over the ground. It reminded him of the shaking arms of an old crone struggling to rise from a favorite chair. He was panting, he realized, and sweating as well. Hadn't he been cold enough to shiver a moment before?
I need a moment, Udo said. What for? My legs are about to go here. I need a moment to breathe, Geffen. Fuck. The air's close in here. God, fuck it, I need a moment to rest and breathe.
He felt Geffen pull forward and drew in enough air to scream, echoes and shadows be damned, but swallowed it back when Geffen said,
Step here, you'll feel better.
The ground leveled suddenly beneath him. He was surprised how much of a relief it was just feeling that flatness beneath him. The ability to stand without digging into a slope through the soles of his feet made the air feel somehow cleaner. He now felt as though the air he drew was enough.
Here, Geffen said. Here? Where?
The narrow spiral had ended in a small pocket, barely large enough to fit two men. It was a closet cut from stone.
This is a dead end, Udo whispered.
No, not so. This is where...
I thought there were supposed to be twists and diversions in here, Udo hissed.
There were.
I didn't see a fucking thing.
They were there regardless. Perhaps you were too busy counting to see? Udo said nothing to that. He hadn't realized he was counting out loud.
Shall we continue now? Geffen asked. Oh, by all means. Why don't we just walk through the fucking rock?
Funny you should say that, Geffen muttered. It sounded to Udo as though his voice smiled. He could not see. The man's back was to him. A moment later, Geffen said a word, something Udo had never heard before. Something alien from another language, forgotten as it was spoken. He began to ask Geffen what it had been, but instead sucked in a sharp breath as the floor before them, which had been quite solid, melted away without a sound. The flavor of the air upon his skin changed so that he knew there was a chamber beneath the opening.
What is this, Geffen? What waits down there?
His breath came in ragged little gasps.
Be at ease, Udo, Geffen said. This is only the vestibule.